You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Farad. Right now, we're picking up our talk with David Michaels of George Washington University. We're talking about his new book, The Triumph of Doubt, Dark Money and the Science of Deception. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you feel like it's hard to tell if information you're getting, especially when it comes to consumer protection or workplace protections, if that information is trustworthy or not reliable? What do you look for when you're trying to tell something is credible? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@wpr.org. David, we've talked a little bit about the kinds of scientific examples and the doubt. How about the money behind it? Who is funding these groups? Who pays these product defending groups?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The specific corporations and trade associations will pay the groups when they want, you know, when they want a study, when they want a report saying everything's safe. But a lot of the political demands saying let's not regulate, let's raise the bar on regulation came from the tobacco industry and the fossil fuel industry together. And that's an important link that people haven't seen. The same people who were the same companies that were trying to convince us that climate change wasn't real, that there is no accumulation of greenhouse gases, they got together with the tobacco industry and they funded the Tea Party movement. And the idea of get the government off our back and increase our freedom, really the point of that was to make sure the government didn't step in and control greenhouse gas emissions or cigarette smoking.
And you write, at least some of the experts who are experts on smoking and why it was safer than we thought are also experts on climate change and raising doubts about that, as well as some of the other examples you give in your book.
Exactly. And you see the same people and the same companies come up over and over again. Look, it's a lucrative job. You can make a lot of money by doing this. And, you know, if you're willing to churn out bad science for one industry, you could turn them out for other industries as well. So we would see the same scientists show up and, you know, claim that silica doesn't cause silicosis, or that black lung is not a problem for coal miners. The other thing I write about, though, and this is really one of the reasons I wrote the book, is some of these same, really the most mercenary of these scientists, who I saw when I was in the government trying to influence these agencies, once President Trump took over, offered these same scientists very high-level positions in the current administration. So one fellow, for example, I talk about a guy named Tony Cox, who has worked for many different industries. He's on record saying that the science isn't there to better control ozone and some of the other air pollutants that come out of burning fossil fuel. Well, and we saw him when he tried to tell us that our regulation, OSHA's regulation to protect workers from silica, wasn't necessary. He is now the chair of the EPA's Clean Air Science Advisory Committee, the most important advisory committee helping, or in this case, hindering EPA from protecting Americans from air pollution.
Let's go to our callers now. Russell is with us in Beaver Dam. Russell, hi.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm wondering about this Roundup stuff. I think the scientific name is
the glyphosate.
I switched over to this vanilla soy milk about 3 years ago, and I've been doing this milled flaxseed, and I'm wondering if this glyphosate is getting into some of these products.
Russell, thanks for the call. You touch on Roundup briefly, I think, David, in your book.
I do. I have half a chapter on Roundup, and what I talk about Roundup is this example of a company that used to be owned by Monsanto that oppose the World Health Organization, which labeled glyphosate as probably cancer-causing. Monsanto ran this secret campaign where they hired a bunch of these same scientists who worked for tobacco and other who worked for the American Beverage Association to write reports and studies saying the evidence that glyphosate causes cancer is questionable. They didn't actually acknowledge that Monsanto paid for them. In some cases, Monsanto actually ghost wrote the studies, trying to essentially push back on this independent evaluation, saying that this chemical might be causing cancer. Now, what's interesting about the glyphosate example, and also maybe Johnson & Johnson as well, is the corporation behind this and their shareholders are actually paying a big price for that sort of really unethical behavior. You know, the German pharmaceutical company Bayer purchased Monsanto, and Monsanto, they continue to sell glyphosate, but there have been these major lawsuits in California of workers who developed lymphoma, non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, and juries have all said that they believe that the exposure to glyphosate caused the disease. And when they saw all these documents, exactly how Monsanto ran these campaigns, they gave huge, you know, multi-hundred million, in some cases, billion-dollar punitive damage awards against Monsanto or against Bayer. Now, Bayer is never going to have to pay billion-dollar punitive damage awards, but it's hurting Bayer tremendously. In fact, Bayer, the value of Bayer is now the same as the cost of buying Monsanto. In other words, they've lost billions of dollars in their value, and the shareholders pay for it. So I hope that's a lesson to some of these companies, that by taking the low road, in the long run, it could hurt you more than just acknowledging you've got a problem and saying, you know, how are we going to deal with it?
And let's talk about how to deal with what you're pointing out as a problem here, David. You offer some solutions at the end, and one of the keys, you say, is to get research into more independent hands, to not rely on research as much as we do for companies that actually make the products of concern. What could a funding model look like?
Well, the model would be that the company that makes the product should put money into a kitty for the research to be done, but you need an independent organization, either the government or something that's totally independent from the funders, to choose the scientific agenda to pay for the research. Because, you know, if a corporation pays me for research, I'm going to start a lab, I'm going to hire people, and I'm going to be concerned about making sure those people get funded and that I get funded in the future, and that's going to influence how I think about that company and the product. You know, research money is as addictive as nicotine, and we know that from tobacco. And so if you set up a system, and we have systems like this, where the research is totally independent of the funder of the research, we'll get research with integrity and research that we can trust. And that's the most important research in order to protect the public.
How do you get there from where we are now?
Well, it's going to be legislation. I mean, the only way to do it, though I think actually an example that is right in front of us, which needs that badly, is e-cigarettes. You know, we need to know what's going on with vaping. Is it, you know, what's the long-term effect of taking in a product that's a mixture of oil and nicotine and flavors, bring it into your lungs, holding it into your lungs, and expelling it many times a day for 20 or 30 years. To answer that question, well, first, it's important to answer that question, but would you trust the e-cigarette companies to give you the answer? I mean, Juul is owned by Altria, the company that brought us the Marlboro Man. So I actually think it could be done voluntarily by the e-cigarette companies, but for other, you know, chemicals, it's probably going to take some legislation to get there.
David, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
We've been talking to David Michaels, former Obama and Clinton administration official, former head of OSHA, now an epidemiologist at George Washington University. And he was with us today to talk about his newest book, The Triumph of Doubt, Dark Money, and the Science of Deception.